Good job of beating everybody on that.
Whichever side really wants.
Boy, this guy's a mess.
Please try to stay muted. Thank you.
Mute everybody, just press participants and then press, so. Well, then you have to record. Okay, guys, is this working? Is this recorder working?
No, I don't.
Okay, guys, camera in the back? No problem, okay, great, okay. Did you press record on this?
Yeah.
Well, he's recording, right? Recording on this, so even if it buffers, it'll be clear on that.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, welcome to everybody. Both of those who are... One second. It's a little better now? Okay. So first of all, welcome to everybody, both those who are with us live, those who are with us via Zoom. Everybody should feel that we're all one big chabura, maybe separate a little bit physically, but Baruch Hashem, we're all learning together. So everyone should feel like they can participate in the Shia. Anyone has any questions to ask, any aras to make? So those who are live, those who are on Zoom, please feel free to do so. So hopefully everybody had a chance to get a little bit started in the Marmakomas today. So we're going to try to begin the first sugya. We'll try to give some of the Rashi Prakim, so a little introduction to some of the important topics in the sugya, and then try to see how we develop a little bit in terms of the lumdus, and we'll see how the sugya goes. Okay, so we should feel free to ask any questions, participate in any shape or form that you want. Okay, so let's begin to get started. So we are learning the Perek of Ben Sarah Mora. So you're probably wondering, what in the world does that have to do with Ben Sarah Mora? The answer is nothing. Very, very little does she has to do with Ben Sarah Mora. The only reason why we're talking about this topic is because the Gemara begins off Ben Sarah Mora, trying to figure out exactly how old the Ben Sarah Mora could be. So there are two different klolim that are trying to be understood by Chazal together to figure out what the age, the window of opportunity of qualifying as a Ben Sarah Mora. On the one hand, clearly the child has to be over the age of Bar Mitzvah. If he's not over the age of Bar Mitzvah, then he's never going to be Bar Einshin in anything. On the other hand, he can't be too old because the Torah describes him as being a Ben. He's still a young boy. So he's already 35 years old. He's not a young boy anymore. So it's a very, very small window of being a Ben Sarah Mora. Sometimes at Bar Mitzvahs, when I'm asked to speak, so I'll... if it's Pashas Kiseitzi or something, so I'll try to avoid talking about Ben Sarah Mora. It's not the nicest topic because the kid just turned Bar Mitzvah now telling he's Chayav Skila in the next 3 months. So there's a very, very small window of being a Ben Sarah Mora. So the Gemara has a whole discussion as to how do you know when the window ends. So the window basically ends at the point where the person is already Shaykh, we call it Av. The Torah describes him as a Ben Sarah Mora. Ben means in contrast to a father. So if he's already old enough to be a father, it doesn't mean he's mamish, has a kid already, but it means he's old enough to technically be a father, so then he's ois Ben Sarah Mora. So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara gets off the whole tangent, just how old can a person potentially have a child? What's the youngest age that we could assume that a person maybe is a shayach, the father of a child? So the Gemara begins to discuss the possibility of a katan being moilid or a katan not being moilid, and that sets the stage for our sugya. So in the middle of that discussion, all of a sudden the Gemara raises the following shayla concerning a parasha that appears in Parshas Naso, that's the parasha of Gezel Hager. So the Torah tells us that if I steal from somebody, a regular person, not a ger, I steal from a regular guy, and I'm nishba l'sheker, and then I end up wanting to do tshuva, so I'm meida that I was nishba l'sheker. So there's a whole series of halachas that kick in. I have to pay back the keren, obviously I have to pay back what I stole, and I have to pay back the pe'achoymesh, and I have to also bring a korban, that's called Ashim Gezelos. Those who daven shachar this morning, those who said kabbalas this morning, so hopefully said the parish of, said the Mishnayis of Ezim HaKayman, so Ashim Gezelos is one of the different Hashemos in the Torah. So that's the regular thing. That's normal. That's the normal gazla. But then you have a wild gazla in a Parshas Naso, the guy who steals from a ger, and then the ger subsequently dies in lo yorshim. So that's a whole new problem, because if I steal from a ger who doesn't have any yorshim, he died, who am I going to give the money back to anymore? All this property just became hefker. So that's the chiddush haTorah in Parshas Naso, that I have to give it to the kohanim. The kohanim should be, I say, mishmar, v'mein le'ish koel, shiva shamela, v'ashem u'shem l'shem l'koyin, v'ba'al the Kippur Mitzvah. That's the parasha of Gezlager. So Gezlager is only a Gezlager Shemes Ve'en Lo Yorshim. He doesn't have any Yorshim. How do I know whether he has Yorshim or not? Maybe he has some Yoreis somewhere in China. So that's a bad word these days when we say that. It was not a political statement. That was just a... The problem is when the guy's wearing a mask, I can't see who's laughing or not. So you have to, like, those who are laughing, just, like, you know, wave your hands. That was a good joke. I can see the eyes moving up and down a little bit. So the Torah says that how you can know when the guy has a Yorish or not, so you have to start looking around and checking. You got to do the due diligence to figure out whether the fellow has a Yorish or not. So the Gemara has the following comment. If he's an ish, which I stole from a 35-year-old ger, and he dies, so I have to make sure he doesn't have any yorshim. But if I stole from a little ger, he's not an ish, he's a katan, he's under the age of a mitzvah, so ena tatzorach livdav kasparov. There's no need to check whether he has any yorshim. How's he going to have a yorish? His yorshim from his non-Jewish existence obviously don't count as yorshim. The only possible yorshim he would have would be a child. So if he's over the age of a mitzvah, could be that he has a child somewhere, so you better check to make sure he doesn't have yorshim. But if he's a katan, there's no need to check, because he doesn't have any yorshim. So from here, that a katan is in a moilid. So ad kan tivrei gemara. So this is where the sugya now begins. So Tosfos wakes up in the sugya. Tosfos, wait a second, hold the phone for a second. The gemara is discussing the possibility of stealing from a ger katan, and it happens to be that this ger under the age of a mitzvah, you don't have to worry about him having yorshim. But otherwise, this is a gezela problem. If it's a gzela problem, it's assuming that he owns property. So Tosfos scratches the head and says, how does he own property? How did a katan ever own property in the first place? So this is where the sugya begins. With this kasha, Tosfos, Sabachas, and Sanhedrin, it's clear as day from the entire shtashl sugya that a katan can own property. How are you talking? How could that be? So let's think through ourselves. How could a katan possibly own something? So Tosfos makes reference to a mishnah in the end of the fifth parak of Maseches Gittin, where the mishnah says that mitzias cher shet the katan ein legeza od meidak yisholim. That if a little child picks up something, so it doesn't really belong to him. See, a child finds a piece of bubble gum in the street, so it's not a nice thing to do to steal that bubble gum from them. Why? Not because you're in violation of Lo Sigzo, because you're going to get into a fight with him. He's going to go scream to his father. His father's going to come and punch you out. You're going to get into a big fight in Shul. So to avoid Chazal instituted that you shouldn't grab things from Ketanim. But Be'ikaron, a katan doesn't own anything, because Minat Torah, he doesn't have a yad, he doesn't have the koyach in Dini Mamadis to acquire anything. So the starting point of the entire sugya, says Tosfos, is that a katan can't be zoicha. The katan is ein layad. If he doesn't have a yad, mitzias katan, ein bel gezlut ne, elevim ne dakishalon, how in the world does this child own anything in the first place? So the whole assumption of the parsha of Gezlager Goldo versus Gezlager Katan is assuming that the katan owns something. Hayitachin, where does the katan own anything from? So Tosfos says, we have a big problem. We have a huge problem. Because the katan doesn't have a yad, doesn't have any ability to be zoicha. So then Tosfos says, wait a second. I'll come up with a new story, says Tosfos. That a katan doesn't have a yad to be kaina on his own, but maybe somebody can be kaina on his behalf. So someone's going to go and pick up a mitzvah on his behalf, or someone's going to be zoicha on something on his behalf. That's kabbalic. We know there's a cloud called Zoch Lev Shalom Befonov. Anyone learn Kedushin Daf Mem Beis, anyone learn Gittin, anyone ever learn any Masechtin Shas, probably maybe except for Brachas, although you probably bumped into, although it's funny because the only place that the phrase Shluch Hashem Kameis or Pias Mol Shas is where Russia? In Mishnayis, I mean, it's a Mishnah Maseches Brachas. It's the only time it appears in the Amorai many times, but the phrase Shluch Shom Kamaisai only appears one time in Mishnayis, and that's in a Mishnah in Brachas about Tefila B'tzibor, which Ataka doesn't even mean that. It's a joke. That's not what Shluch Shatz is, not even Shluch Shom Kamaisai in the first place. It's just a Melitza B'Yalma, but just as an aside piece of trivia. But so you've probably bumped into Tzug of Zoch Lev Shalom Befonov in many, many different places. So Tosfos says maybe that's what's playing out over here. Then maybe the Katan doesn't have a koach to be zoich on his own, but somebody was zoich on behalf of the katan, and that's how he owns money min haTorah, and that's what you did. You stole from the katan who was zoich on the property through the vehicle of Zoch Lev Befonov. So Tosfos says, no, bad answer. Why is that a bad answer? Because that would be presupposing that Zechia works for a katan min haTorah, and we have no reason to believe that that's true. How did Tosfos know that doesn't work? Everybody knows Zoch Lev Befonov works min haTorah. So Tosfos comes up with a brand new klal. It's a klal that we're going to hopefully talk about a great detail in the next sugya. Tosfos says, everybody knows that Zechia cannot possibly work for a katan min haTorah, because Tosfos coins the phrase Zechia mitam shlichus. If Zechia is a form of shlichus, how is Zechia a form of shlichus? So if you think about it, what does shlichus mean? Shlichus means Reuven can do something on behalf of Shimon. So what does the chiyah mean? Reuven can do something on behalf of Shimon. What's the difference between the two? Shlichus requires a formal min of shlichus. So chiyah means that even though there's no formal shlichus, but if it was something that was beneficial, it's ki'ilu that was a min of shlichus. I just really, really fudged over chiyah b'tam shlichus for you guys. I just totally faked, totally pulled the wool over your eyes with that one, but hang in there till later in the week. So the chiyah b'tam shlichus sounds like it means that Reuven can do something for Shimon, and Reuven could do something for Shimon. So Tosfos says, wait a second, we have a klal gadol that there's no shlichus for katan. Everybody knows that there's no shlichus for katan. Everybody knows that a katan can't appoint a shliach. It's interesting because the Gemara says at Pemoli in a few places that there's no shlichus for katan, and the Gemara never explains what the mocher is. And the Rambam has one mocher, and the Rambam has another mocher. Every Rishon has another mocher for it. Nobody knows how Chazal figured it out, but that's the klal, that there's no shlichus for katan. So Tosfos posits the following premise. If there's no shlichus for katan, then there's no zechiah for a cotton either. If there's no zechiyah on behalf of a cotton, so then back to square one, how does a cotton own any property? So we're mamish in a pickle. Where did this cotton get something? We're pilpling about gezla geah, we're pilpling about whether you have to check for yorshim. How did he get any property in the first place? To pick it up on his own is not an option because he doesn't have the yad to be kind of. For somebody to pick it up on his behalf, it's vital not going to work because the chiyah is bitam shlichus and there's no shlichus for cotton, there's no zechiyah for cotton. So what's the answer, says Tosfos? So Tosfos discovers America. Tosfos comes up with a brand new solution. Tosfos says, I'll tell you the following Yesod. The Yesod is called Das Acheres Machnos. So, namely, that when do we say that a katan doesn't have Zechiyah min HaTorah for himself, he can't pick up a Metziah, he can't pick up a lost object, because there's no Mach there, there's nobody who's transferring the ownership to the katan. But in a case when I'm giving a matana to a katan, that for sure works min HaTorah, says Tosfos. So not a shayla levada that works min HaTorah, because that's called das ches machnos. So when I'm providing the das on behalf of the katan, that is going to be effective even on a level of deraisa. So this is the breakthrough of Tosfos. Finally, if I have to solve the world's problems, how does a katan own something? Says Tosfos, zechiah the katan himself is not going to work. Zechiah for somebody else on the katan is also not going to work. But if you have a zoch, then it's fun. If I'm giving it to you, I'm the machna, I'm the nisein, and I give you a matana to the katan, that's going to work min hatayra. Hocus pocus, that's going to work min hatayra. So we have a lot of problems with this. You see a tesis like this, you have to like think a million times over. First of all, you have to ask yourself, how did Tosfos know? Where'd they make this up from? They had a kasha, they had a problem. So to solve a problem, they made up a razzle-dazzle, brand new yesod that we have no idea where it comes from. So first of all, we have to have makoros for Tosfos. We have to have a mokor for this idea in Chazal, in Shas, for this idea of Das Ches Machnos. And then even if we'll dig up a mokor, we'll make up a mokor, we'll put a fumka mokor or something, we have to come up with a lumdos, we have to come up with a beer. So it's not enough just to give a mokor. You have to explain why should this be so. The starting point, the baseline is a katan doesn't have a yad, he doesn't have zechiyah, it's a lot bar das. How can it be zeich in anything? How does das ches machnos overcome that problem? Don't you still need das hakleina? So we have a lot of work to do in these places. So where did Tosfos get this idea from? So one of their, they got it from a complicated Gemara, Maseches Gittin. But one of the biggest sources for Tosfos is a more straightforward Gemara. That's the Gemara Maseches Sukkah. So let's try to discuss that sugi a little bit. Hopefully everyone sorted the Maram Kamas. It's based on the principle of Kachta Melchemi and Marishan that you have to own the Dalaminim. Who was with us when we learned Sukkah? Are you with us? Sukkah Shim. Okay, so we spoke once or twice about this din. Okay, there's a din, once or twice, 5,000 times. There's a din of Lachem that in order to be Yaiti Dalaminim, so you have to own the Dalaminim. Dinim Mamanis, the Dalaminim have to belong to you. The Gemara has the following problem. The Gemara says that on the first day of Sukkah, you just bought a $300 luvanah. So Allah Khumras, you bought for the Chaznish Tisraegi with the Dairy Lulavim with the Aleph plus 16 times. You went to Munsi Aravis, you had everything, you're good to go. You spent mamish, you spent every last penny of your last paycheck on your Dalaminim, and you come to shul in the morning all ready to roll. But it depends whether you're a chassid or a misnagid. If you're a chassid, so you're ready to shift the lulav in the sukkah in the morning. If you're a misnagid, so you're waiting for halal. So you're a misnagid. So you're all ready to go. You're all ready to go. And your kid is a little kvetchy and troll. And he already wants to go out the groups. He already wants to go eat his snash. He's already driving you nuts. So right before halal, before you take the lulav, you want to fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch. So you give your dalaminim to your child. And he says, okay, little yankel here, go take, you shake the dalaminim first and then give it back to me. So the Gemara says, you're not yaitzeh midaraisa now. There's no way whatsoever for you to be yaitzeh that mitzvah deraisa, because by giving it to little yankel, you would just mock it to yankel. It's because the katan has the koyach to be koinet, And the katan doesn't have the ability to be machne back, and therefore your mamash blew it, and you got to go find yourself another set of dalabinim. So the Gemara says, "Yom kama lo lick the inish lova le yenuka kani make the kani make Adam to Arabic is whatever it means. It means he can be koina and he can't be machne back. Ad kan the Gemara Masechet Sukkah. So Tais says, "Ba'al with the kasha. What do you mean he can't be machne back? Vishtei that a katan can be machne back." Mishnah says in Gittin, in the fifth parakha, Peutas Mekar Mekar, Mamkar Memkar, that someone over the age of Peutas is like 7-8 years old, he knows how to go to the store, he knows how to handle, he knows how to use his credit card, he knows how to use the credit card better than his parents know how to use the credit card, he knows how to buy things on Amazon, he's got the whole thing down pat. So he's Yodea Betiv Mekar Memkar. So a 7-8 year old kid has the ability to be mocked at things. Midirabanan, that's a takon, it's a kind of tanoim, that a katan, even though he's a labar das, but midirabanan, to make life easy for him, so they instituted the ability for the katan to be able to map their things. So Taisa says, why does the Gemara say in Sukkah that it's not going to work, that the katan can't be mapped in the lulav after easy come, easy go? He was kind of the lulav, and now be mapped right back to the father. What's the big deal? So Taisa says, now I'll tell you what the big deal was. It's a huge problem. What's the problem? When I gave the lulav to the child, and he was kind of that lulav, that wasn't based on takanas hachamim. I don't need takanas hapa'utas for that. The child was kind of the lulav mid araisa. Why was he kind of lulav mid araisa? Because his das ches maknosel. So even though the Mishnah says in Gittin that a katan can't be zoicha on a mitzvah in a Torah, that's because there's no das ches maknosel. But for him to receive it as a matana from a moicha, from a naisein, that's going to work minat Torah. That's the magic phrase das ches maknosel. So minat Torah, he's the owner of those dalaminim. Now when he wants to turn around and be machne those dalaminim back to his father, he can't do that mid the araisa, because in a Torah he doesn't have the koach to. In a Torah he's not a das moicher. So the only mechanism for him to be machted that lulav back to the father is through the takanas hachamim peutas. But that's a din mid the rabbanan. So now Tosfos makes a whole cheshbon. Tosfos says in order to fulfill dalad minim, you have to own the dalad minim according to whose definition of ownership. Who do you have to ask whether you own the dalad minim? So those who've been my share know we always present this as follows. But I have a dalamim in front of me, and I want to know, Rabbi, do I own these dalamim? Are these lachem or not? So which rabbi do I ask? So I have two choices. I can either ask Moshe Rabbeinu, or I can ask Rav Yosef Karo. Those are the two rabbanim on the stage right now. So if I ask Moshe Rabbeinu, do I own these dalaminim? So Moshe Rabbeinu looks at me looking crazy. He says, wait a second, you just gave it to your child, and there's a din min haTorah of das ches machnosel. And I ask Moshe Rabbeinu, where does it say that? He says, I'm Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm telling you, that's the din. The das ches machnosel works min haTorah. It's a din from Gemara Gittin. Okay, good. So das ches machnosel works min haTorah. So min haTorah, the katan owns it. And then I ask Moshe Rabbeinu, can my child now be machne back to me? So he looks at me like I'm out of my mind. He says, how in the world can a katan be machne back in the Torah? There's a din you need das moicher. So I say, what do you mean? It's a mishnah ha'peutas mekach me'abchar. So Moshe Rabbeinu looks at me like I'm vaita crazy. He says to me, but that's a mishnah. I lived before the mishnah. I said, the mishnah didn't exist. The Tachanas Chacham didn't exist. Some days, between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yud HaNasi, that made this fine takanah. That's very nice. It's true but irrelevant. That takanas hacham is not going to help me be yaitzeh the mitzvah deraisa. So Tosfos says that's exactly what Rabbi Zeir was driving at in Sukkah. That's what Rabbi Zeir said, that if I give the katan the lulav, he's kind of in a Torah, because das ches machnosel works in a Torah. And now the only way for him to be machna back to me is mit the rabbanon, based on the takanas hapeutos. That doesn't fly. You can't use the takanas hachamim to be yaitzeh a mitzvah deraisa. So Tosfos says, zaman findoch, those who don't know the Yiddish means, we see from here that das ches machnosel works in a Torah. If das ches machnosel wouldn't be a kinyan in a Torah, so then if it would only be a takanas hachamim, so then there wouldn't be a problem. Easy come, easy go. The same way I'm machne the katan, the lulav mit the rabbanon, he's machne death based on the takanas hapeutos. So the whole din of Rabbi Zeira of not selling my lulav to the katan is predicated on the assumption that min haTorah he's kind of based on das ches machnosel. So that's Tosfos gevalde geraya, meiri de geraya. Does anybody disagree with the raya? Of course, whenever I ask that question, of course somebody disagrees with the raya. Who disagrees with the raya? Everyone's one of my comments. The Ran disagrees. The Ran says that you missed the boat. The Ran says that when the Gemara says don't give the lulav to your child, that means if the child's 3 years old, but if the child's 10 years old, it's a day. You can give the child the lulav. That's perfectly okay. Why? Because he has the ability to be machne back based on the takanas mishnah of hapautos from kara memker. So whereas Tosfos saw in this Gemara a grandiose raya, gavaldika, earth-shattering raya, the das ches machnosel works b'Torah, and even though the kid is already 10 years old, it's still going to be a problem in our Torah. The Ran says, you misread the Gemara. There is no such Gemara. The Gemara is talking about a little kid under the age of 8. The kid is a low gilon as a butas. But it's a gilon as a butas, then it's not a problem. So what is the Nekudas of Machloikas between Tais and the Ran? What are they really are? What's the Lomdus and the Machloikas Tais and the Ran? So the Pashas HaGorm is that Tais is accepting this idea of Das Ches Machnosel, and the Ran is saying, the Ran says there is no such klal. There's no such principle, bichlal, of Das Ches Machnosel. Never existed, never was, never is. And therefore, there's no concern. If the kid's 3 years old, so he doesn't have the koyach to be makne bachmed the rabbanon, that's a problem. But if the kid's 10 years old, he has the ability to be makne bachmed the rabbanon, that's fine, because he was never zoichanet any more than the rabbanon in the first place. So that's the sipsha, the bachlekes tais in Iran is, does das ches machnosel work min haTorah or not? Is there another way to learn pshat of bachlekes tais in Iran? So the answer is definitely yes. What's the other beer? Guys, can participate, by the way. Guys, just because you're wearing masks in Philly, you can't participate. What's the other beer, Adavar? You didn't see the Ran. It wasn't on the Maamar Kamos. Oh, it should have been on the Maamar Kamos. It's understood that everyone should have looked up every Ran in the Masechta Sukkot. It's Gemara. It's okay. Okay, so that's why we have to Tosh Lof Tehid. Asha, what's the Machalik?
Maybe the Ran thought
that the Das Ches Machnosel doesn't work with the Reisah? No, so again, so Tosh holds that Das Ches Machnosel works with the Torah, and Pashas the Ran denies that. Well, maybe no. Maybe the Ran holds what? Maybe the Ran holds that Das Ches Machnosel works with the Torah, but what? Maybe what? Maybe if the child is already gilon sabudos, he could be makne it back mid the rabbanon. But guess what? When you want to paskil whether something is lochem or not, who says you have to ask Moshe Rabbeinu? Maybe all you could have to ask is who? Yosef Karo. We have to ask the Shulchan Aruch. Now that premise of Tosfos that kinyanim the rabbanon don't work to be convey lochem in haTorah. Maybe the Ran disagrees with that very Nakuda. So maybe that's the Nakuda of Machlokes these Tais in the Ran. So everybody agrees that Das Ches Machnosel works in the Torah. There's no Ran that denies Das Ches Machnosel working in the Torah. But what the Ran held, unlike Tais's, is that even though it does belong to the Kotam in the Torah, he can be makne it back mid the Rabbanon based on the Kotas of Pe'utos. And once he's makne back mid the Rabbanon, then it belongs to the Godel, to the father, on the level of the Raisa. So we have two very, very different ways of understanding the Machlokes Tais in the Ran. So again, Tais has two principles, two assumptions that they had to subscribe to in order for their sheet to be true. First of all, they had to accept Das Ches Machnosel being binding min haTorah, and then they had to assume that Kinyanim de Rabbanan don't work for their Raisas. The Ran is free to disagree with either one of those two assumptions. The Ran could hold that Das Ches Machnosel is, in fact, doesn't exist min haTorah. Or the Ran could also hold that Das Ches Machnosel could exist min haTorah. V'yaf al pichein, it's still okay, because maybe all you have to be coned back is only on a level of the Rabbanon. So this is a wild question. This goes way beyond our sugi right now. If we're right that the second beer is correct, so we have a major machlokes tais in the Ran here, in order to be called your mamon min haTorah, which standards do you follow? Do you follow the standards of Moshe Rabbeinu? Do you follow the standards of the Chachamim? How could you follow the standards of the Chachamim? How could the Chachamim change in Deraisa? What's the answer by side? How can anybody in their right mind say that a kid in Derabbanan is good for Deraisa? Based on what? If the Torah says it's not called Lachem, how can you be Yetzib to Deraisa based on the rabbi's definition of Lachem? What's the answer? Hefker based in Hefker. The Gemara says a Gid Daf Lamed Vav, and the realm of Dinim Omnis, Chazal can do whatever they please. So if Chazal declare that this is a kid in the Rabbanon, that's tantamount to Chazal being mafka the other fellow's mamon, and now the mamon now belongs to me. So it's Vaitabon Midaraisa. So according to many Rishonim, that may be true. So this is a very, very loaded question. This goes way, way beyond the scope of just giving a child a little bit. So I'll give you a few examples of this. You won't even believe how serious this is potentially. So let's say you go to the store and you buy a little bit. Erev Sukkot, you go to the store to buy a little bit. How do you pay for a little bit? So some people pay with a credit card, right? You give a credit card to the guy, you buy a little bit of Erev Sukkot, okay? When you give a credit card to the store, did he get access to the cash yet? Probably not. It takes a day or two until he gets access to the cash. He may not get access to that cash till Chol HaMoed Sukkot. So you didn't really give him kesef yet. So how exactly were you kona this luv and esrog? So the answer is that we paskin that meshicha is kona. I bought kona midir rabbanon. When I pick up luv and esrog, so it belongs to me midir rabbanon. Midarai, so we paskin to Torah mal kona. It's going to most many rishonim. So I have to actually give cash in order to be kainis of luvin atorah. But midir rabbanon, I can be kainis with just with meshicha hagba alone. So when I come to shul that next morning, do I own that luv and esrog? So the answer is min haTorah, maybe not. But midir rabbanon, yes, that's very nice. Is that good enough to be yaitzi minutes of Baal Minim? So I hear a bunch of guys like starting to shake. Now, Gaval, for the last 20 years, they would never use a luv and esrog. I'll tell you a secret. You were probably kinda anyway. You know why? Because when you bring it into your house, so you're kinda with the kinyan chatzer. So that would be a kinyan min haTorah. That's great for all of you guys who own your own houses. All of you who don't own houses, who your parents own the house, that's not your house, so then you probably weren't kinyan with the kinyan chatzer. Okay, good. So you're kinyan when you put it into your car, because the car is a kli, and kli is like a kinyan chatzer. That's all great for the guys who own their own cars. Guys who don't own their own cars are in trouble. Guys whose parents are leasing cars, the machlokes is a rishonim, whether kli socher is considered to be a kinyan chatzer or not. So things are not looking well for luv and esrog, everybody said. So there may be an incentive to either buy luv and esrog in enough time that the credit card clears, or maybe pay cash. I'm not saying some people like pay cash for other reasons, but I don't want to talk about that. But I'm talking about pure halachic reasons of making sure that something's lachan. Okay, so those who are machmer not to rely on kinyan derabbanan for mitzvahs deraisa may bump into the same question when it comes to buying matzahs. So you go and you buy matzahs. How do you pay for your matzahs? So it's a machlekes rishonim, but it's a din of matzaschem, but you have to actually own your own matzahs. So the same story. So if I go to the store and I just buy with if I give cash, and that's wonderful. But if I don't give cash and I just pay with a credit card, and then matzahs didn't clear yet, say what if Pesach matzahs didn't clear yet? So then that may be a problem. Maybe the matzahs don't belong to me. So kinyan chatzer, that's not going to help me. Kinyan klei, that's not going to help me. It's a big problem. So some people would be nervous about that as well. If you want to get mad, it's even worse. So when you get married. So you're supposed to own the ring. The first question in the Masechta Kedushin they ask you under the chuppah is, does this ring belong to you? So the question is, well, which stands? Imagine if I would ask the chassan that, he would say to me, well, Rabbi, what do you mean? Do you mean the Shulchan Aruch standards or my Shabbat standards? I said, don't you want to be married in a Torah? You want to spend your whole life, the next 75 years, you want to be married only mid the Rabbanan? You want to be married mid the Rais also. So you have to make sure that you bought that ring. So a lot of people don't pay for cash for the ring. A lot of people buy on credit cards. So they just went to the jewelry store yesterday and they bought a ring. He says the ring belongs to them in a Torah. So everyone gets very nervous. So one time a chassan came to me and he gave me a whole story why he thought that maybe it wasn't actually Mekudeshes to his wife mid the Rais. He was all shaking. So I said to him, I said, don't worry. I said, probably b'diavad you're married still. So you got all nervous. B'diavad. I said, nah, probably l'chachila. Probably, maybe, okay, possibly. So anyway, bottom line is that if you hold a kinyan derabbanan, don't work for deraisas. You just opened up a whole world of nervousness. If you hold a kinyan derabbanan, work for deraisas, then you can sit back, relax, enjoy the wedding, enjoy your matzahs, enjoy your luvinessi. Everything's good to go. So this may be relevant to this machlokes taisa. Don't worry, relax, guys. Don't worry, everything's okay. Everything'll be fine. Yeah. A kinyan yad, yeah, maybe. Okay, so the kinyan yad is a tricky one. So a ring may be a kinyan yad, assuming kinyan yad exists, unless you're like Rashi and Suba said, never heard of kinyan yad. But if you hold that kinyan yad exists, that would be great. But kinyan yad has to be mamshing in your hand. So that's why. Anyone ever seen a get recently? Like yesterday? Okay, so. Kiveg is famous chumr. You have to fold the get into a million little tiny pieces to make sure it fits totally into the woman's hand. It should be a kinyan yad. Because anything that protrudes out is only a kinyan hagbah. He claims kinyan hagbah doesn't work for a get. It's a whole nother world. So a new chumr, you have to take your matzahs and break it into a million pieces. Make a matzah and put it all inside your hand. You have to take your esrog and cut it into little pieces and passel it because it's now an esrog achaser. Okay, so we're working on it. Usher's working on that for us. Okay, anyway, back to that story. That was the sideshow. So back to that story. Is that we have this Tosfos, but Tosfos has this very convincing idea that Das Ches Lachdos works with Torah, and we're not 100% sure that that's right. We're not 100% sure we should agree to it. We have a Ran that may or may not agree to it, depending on what we think Pshat the Ran is. But I say this was the easy part of the sugya, because all we did right now is try to find the text, try to find the Makor for Tosfos. As we said this many times in Ashurim, so you have to learn the sugya textually and conceptually. So textually means you have to find the Makaris, you have to find what are the Rayas back and forth in the Gemaras to any Rishon, and then conceptually you have to ask yourself, does this make sense? How do you understand this? What's the Svara? So those are two different parts of learning. That's why in the Gemara you find that there are two different kind of kashas that are asked by Chazal. Sometimes Chazal will ask a kasha meisve, and sometimes Chazal will ask a kasha maskif. Those are not synonyms. They're two different kinds of kashas. Meisve is a question from a text. That means an Amora said something, say Rabbi Yechon said something, so the Gemara will now have a kasha. It's against the Mishnah, it's against the Brice. That's a Meisve kind of a question. Meisve, Eisve. Meisve just means we're asking, Eisve means one person asks to the other. And then you have other kashas that are maskif. So maskif means that there's no source, there's no text. It's just we're asking Misvara. Like, why do you think the Svara is right? It's just a kasha stam, a conceptual kind of a question, rather than a textual kind of a question. When I was in sixth grade, so when I that was my first time I ever learned Gemara. So I can say it publicly, everyone knows I went to SAR. So so before every lesson in the Gemara, so we had words. So we had to memorize all the milim of the words. So I remember. So what was the word meitevei? In those days, it was meitevei. Probably still is meitevei there. So meitevei is she'elam makor chazak or makor chalash. Who else? You went to know him, right? Probably learned the same. Same word sheets, yeah, okay, take them off, right, okay. So, she'la makor chazak makor chalash. So, there are different kinds of questions. So, that's what we're learning here also. So, Tosfos brought a raya from a text from a Gemara, and you could argue with the text, but now we're asking a fundamental question, what's this based on? What's the lomdus of this idea, assuming this exists in a Torah, ta'as chas matka, so what in the world is this based on? So, the Ktos develops a yeson, I think I put this Ktos in the Mamakamis. Nope. I didn't put it at the end of Mamakomas? Nothing. What is on the Mamakomas? I didn't put anybody besides the Mamakomas? Oh yeah, okay, I want to make it easy for guys, okay. Otherwise guys don't want to come to Shia, they figure they learned everything, there's nothing for me to add, so good, it's okay. So there's a Ketzos develops the following, you guys just learn the Gemara's and Tosfos, I'll try to fill in the gaps, don't worry about it, okay. So the Ketzos raises the following suggestion, a very razzle-dazzle beer as to why Das Ches Machmas should work. So the Ketzos develops the Yesod, and he says he thinks that there really is no requirement all in halacha for da'as kaina. There is no such thing. There's no halacha that you require a kaina to be a bar da'as. There's no requirement for a kaina to present da'as whatsoever in order to be kaina. There never was such a halacha. Never was, never is. There's a din of da'as meicher. There's a din of da'as mak. If I try to get something from you and you don't supply das machne, you know what we call that? What do we call a transfer of ownership without das machne? That's called gazela, okay? So when I break into your house and I steal your animal, that's called gazela. When you provide das machne, that's called either a mechira or a matana, depending on whether you get paid or not. But the halacha requires the das, bitam ha-machne, bitam ha-mech, bitam ha-neisen, but there is no such requirement of das kone. Never was, never is. And therefore, the Ketzos says, what da'as ches machna so basically means is, as long as the meicher is supplying the da'as, so you're good to go. So there is no need for da'as kain altogether. That's why da'as ches machna so works. What's the problem with the Ketzos? There's a huge problem with this Ketzos. How can anybody say such a thing? That there's no requirement of da'as kain? What halacha stares us in the face? What halacha is impossible to understand? There's no din of da'as kain? Im kain what, Rabbi say? What does the Mishnah say in Gittin what? Metzias Cherishet V'kad is only Gezel Beidak Yisholem. Why is it only Beidak Yisholem? Why isn't it Minat Torah? If you tell me... Hold on. If you hold that there's no din of Das Kain altogether, all the Halacha says is you need Das Makneh, so then why can't a five-year-old kid walk up to a piece of bubblegum, pick it up, and become Minat Torah? What's the problem? There is no Makneh. When you have a Dovash al Hefkir, a Dovash al Metzia, there's no Makna. There is no Makna necessarily. It's Hefkir. It's a Metzia already. The owner was Messiah already on it. So once you say that there is no Makna, and you're going to tell me a story that there is no halacha that you require Das Koina, so how does that work? How in the world does Metzia's Chesh ever come? Ain't no guess, only Dak Yisholem. So comes the Ketzos and says as follows that there are two halachas taking place here. There is no requirement of Das Koina. But there is a requirement of what's called, we're going to coin this phrase, called Das Kinyan. Namely, a Kinyan cannot take place without Das being present. Kinyan don't happen in a vacuum. Ownership cannot transfer to somebody in any shape or form without Das Kinyan taking place. So what does that mean practically? So when you have two parties, when you have a Makneh and you have a Koineh, so the Makneh is supplying Das Makneh, because otherwise it's Gezela, and he's also supplying that second halacha of Das Kinyan. A Kinyan is not just a picking up of an item. A Kinyan is an official Gemiras Das that this Kinyan is taking place. So that Gemiras Das is all accomplished by the Makneh. So when you have Das Ches Makneh, so when I want to give you a gift, so I don't need you to participate in your Das, because
I'm providing everything. I'm the Das Machne, and I'm providing the Das Kin, and everything is Hunky Dory. But when there is no Machne, so then if there's no Machne, it's true that you don't need Das Kine, but what do you need? You still need Das Kinyon, and if the Kotan's kid's under Bar Mitzvah, he's a Labar Das, he can't provide Das Kinyon. So that's why Minat Torah you strike out. Minat Torah, when there's no Machne, you need the Kine not to supply Das Kine. Das Kine is a made-up term. There is no such thing called Das Kine in Allah, but a Kinyon cannot take place in the absence of Das Kinyon. So when all the dust settles, when you have a Das Ches Machno, so a Vadat's going to work Minat Torah, but if you don't have a Das Ches Machno, so it's not going to work Minat Torah, because you're still lacking that secondary halacha called Das Kinyon. That's the Ketzais is understood. That's the background of the sugya according to the Ketzais. But comes the Ketzais and says, he concedes, that there may be a different beer in the sugya. There may be a different way totally understanding what Das Ches Machno so works, and that's a throwback to what we started with at the very beginning of the sugya. So we start off by saying that there's a principle of Zechiyah. There's a concept of Zechiyah, that Reuven can do something on behalf of Shimon. Now, usually when we speak about Zechiyah, Zechiyah means Reuven's going to do a Maisa on behalf of Shimon. Let's say, so somebody wants to give a gift to Shimon. Levi wants to give Shimon a gift, and Shimon's out, he's in Eretz Yisrael right now. So Levi's going to go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, do me a favor. Pick up this item, do a Maisa Agbah, do a Kinah Meshicha, do a Chalik, do something, and have in mind, Nini Mucham Zuchum, to be Koine, to be Zoiche, on behalf of Ploine, on behalf of Lekeach. So that's a Chedisha Torah, that's in Kedush Tafim Beis, learned from Sukkim, that Zoch Lehem Shlo Befonov, but it's Parashim, it's not Parashim, it's not for now. Zoch Lehem Shlo Befonov works. So that's classic Zoch Lehem Shlo Befonov on a Maisa Kinyan. Come a group of Achmarim and say, you can have a concept of Zoch Lehem Shlo Befonov, not only on a Maisa, but you can have Zoch Lehem Shlo Befonov on Das as well. It means I could provide Das on behalf of somebody else. What does that mean practically? Comes a group of Achorim that tells references and says, I want to give a gift to a Kotan. So I want to give a gift to a little Yosla. Yosla is 5 years old. I want to give him a gift. So Yosla is going to pick up the item. But the problem is, even though Yosla is doing the Maisa Hagbah, he's doing the Maisa Kinyan, but he's a Labar Das. So come these Achorim and say, but you need Das. Without Das Koine, it doesn't work. Not like so he said, you don't need Das Kenyan. Das Koine, I'm sorry. You do need Das Koine. It's a Din Deraisa. You need two to tango. You need Das Machne, you need Das Koine. And that's a Din Deraisa. So you require Das Koine Mid Deraisa. Who is providing the Das Koine? The kid's not providing the Das Koine. He's under the age of Bar Mitzvah. So who's providing the Das Koine? So catch this one. The Machne is providing Das on behalf of the Koine. How can I do something on behalf of you? That's magic. The answer is that's Zach Lehem Shlo Befonov. Just as there's a din of Zechiyah on a Maisa, there's a din of Zechiyah on Das as well. So every Das Ches Machno, so Zok the group of Acharim that Tzais quotes and then rejects, come these Acharim and say, every Das Ches Machno, so is not predicated on the assumption that there's no requirement for Das Koine. No, there isn't a requirement for Das Koine. There's a din of Das Koine. The din is that the Machne can provide that Das through the vehicle of Zoch Lehem Shlo Befonov. So it's a different kind of Zoch Lehem Shlo Befonov. It's not a Zochen on the Maise, because I don't need Zochen on the Maise, because the Kotan's doing the Maise himself. It's a Zochen on the Das Shabbai, and that the Machne can do. So this is a tremendous Chiddush, these Acharonim. I'll tell you why it's a tremendous Chiddush, because Zoch Lehem Shlo Befonov usually means that I have to bring the third party. Let's say I want to give I want to give Yaakov, a big guy, he's 25 years old. I want to give him a gift, okay? And he's not around right now, he's in China. So I can bring Moshe and say, Moshe, please, you pick this up on behalf of Yaakov. What if I say, listen, what do I have to bother Moshe for? I'll pick it up on behalf of Yaakov. I'll take it from one hand, and I'll hand it by the other hand. So I'll say to myself, I'll say, please, Rabbi Sobolowski, pick it up on behalf of Yaakov. Zoch Lehem Shlo Befonov. That's a farce. Everybody knows that's a joke. That's a late sonus. You can't do Zoch Lehem Shlo Befonov. You're the Moiche, you're the Zoiche, you're the Makabe, you're you can't do that. Zoch, you have to do somebody else. So how are these Achmarim telling you the story that the Machne is providing the Zechiyah on behalf of the Koine? How does that work? So the answer is very simple. But Medivar Mamurim, that I can't give a gift from myself to myself on behalf of somebody else, that's not a Maisa Kinyan Bechlal. A Maisa Kinyan is I have to pick the item up, I have to pick this item and give it over to somebody else. If I'm not handing it to a third party, that's just putting it, that's not a Kinyan, that's not a Hagbon, that's not a Mashiach, that's a joke. I have to give it to somebody else. So I have to hand it to somebody else. So that somebody else can either be the recipient of the kinyan itself, or the chiddush ater zachar shel lefanav will enable me to give it to a third party on behalf of that somebody else as well. But to give it to myself, that's mamish nothing. But in this unique case of zachar shel lefanav, when I'm not doing zochin on the maise kinyan, I'm doing zochin merely on the das kinyan. So the zachar the das kinyan, I can do everything. The Khatan is doing the Maisa Kinyan on his own, and I'm providing Das Kinyan through the vehicle of Zachar Shlomo Fanov, and that's perfectly okay, says Sayyidi Zacharayim Ketzais, and that's the secret behind Das Ches Matno. So Rabbi says, so we have two very, very different biurim in the Gedolei Acharonim. How does Das Ches Matno work? What's the mechanics of Das Ches Matno? So according to the Ketzais, it's based on the premise that there is no requirement of Das Kinyan. Never was, never is, never will be. There's no such thing as Das Kinyan Halacha. The only reason why Metzias Cheshet Bekata Zodim Mid Rabbanon is because you need Das Kinyan, albeit not Das Kinyan. And the other group of Achronim who preceded the Ketzais said, no, of course there's a din of Das Kinyan, but the only way it's going to work is based on Zachar Shlomo Bafanav. So Abaycha Yivchar, you choose, not really Machriya for you, but to the Ketzais and the early Achronim, what the mechanism of Das Ches Machnaso is. Forget it. So we have... We're just learning Ben Sermer. We're just learning one line in Tosis. Tosis had a kasha. How did a katan own anything? So Tosis says, well, he didn't pick it up on his own. That's ridiculous. He didn't get it through regular zochin. That's ridiculous. He must have got it through Das Ches Matnas. So what's the mocha Das Ches Matnas works? That's the sugi maseches sukkah. The Ran disagrees. Even the Ran disagrees in Das Ches Matnas, or the Ran disagrees in their Isis and their abundance. But Tosis believes that sugya is the end all, that's the ironclad raya brusha and tshuva, that Das Ches Matnas works with the Torah. Now we have a further question in the Gedolei Acharonim: how does it work? What's the mechanism? What's the vehicle that it works based on? So one daya is the Ketosis daya, that it's based on the lack of a necessity for Das Kinyan in the first place. According to the other Acharonim, it's based on something totally different. It's based on the fact that Zachar Shlomo Fanav works. Even though it's a joke, this is not real Zachar Shlomo Fanav. This is a Zachar Shlomo Fanav on Das without being a Zachar Shlomo Fanav on a Maisa Kinyan. So far, so good. But I say this idea that I can pull off the stunt of giving a matana to a katan min haTorah, even though he's a la bar Das, yesh lo kayetze b'zeh. We have another precedent for this halacha, for this type of halacha, when the recipient is not a katan, but rather the recipient doesn't know what's flying. The recipient is clueless. A katan is a la bar Das. Everybody is over the age of bar mitzvah. You all b'nei Das. But just because a person is a bar Das doesn't mean that right now he's expressing Das. You can only express Das if you know what you're thinking about. If you're clueless about what's going on, so then, in effect, you're a la bar Das. But right now, but here and now, you're a la bar Das. What does that mean practically? So, comes the Gemara in Maseches Gittin. Everyone saw this was on the Maram Kermis? Gemara about the Zokin? Yeah? Okay, good. Okay, thumbs up. Okay, good. So the Gemara in Maseches Gittin has the following Shaila. There's a din that when the husband gives a get to his wife, so he's supposed to own all of the materials. He's supposed to own the paper and the ink, whatever it is. He's supposed to give it all to his wife. So the Gemara says, Shaila, what's the din if they come to the get and he doesn't have any paper? She's the one who has the paper. So the Beis Din says, okay, no problem. So Mrs. Plinus, please give as a gift all that paper to the husband, and then he'll write you again. So the problem is, does she really understand what's going on? Is she really holding? Is she really thinking of all that lumdus? So we're telling her, please give it to the husband. Does she think the rabbi's just pulling my leg? He doesn't really mean it. It's not really true. So there was a whole discussion about that. About can we assume that she's really mathed the paper below showing? So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara brings a raya. We leave out all the details of the raya right now. A complicated story about another kind of a shtar, where there was a zokin, there was one old Talmid Chacham in town who would write all the shtaros for everybody, and he would be makna all the paper to all the Balei Dover. Anytime there was a shtar that had to be written, so he would be makna the paper to those people. So the Gemara says that those people in town didn't really necessarily understand what was going on, but the zokin knew what was going on. As long as the zokin knew what was going on, that's good enough. So wait a second, what do you mean that's good enough? But the recipient didn't know what was going on. The Kohen didn't know what was going on. So the Gemara says, nah, that's okay, that's no problem. As long as the Zokin understood to be locked in the paper, that's good to go. So comes the Rashba on the spot and says that you see from that Gemara that if I give a gift to you and you don't really even understand that you're being kind of that gift. You're not even hopping that you're kind of that gift. That's good enough. That's okay. As long as I understand that I'm giving you the gift, I understand I'm selling you the item, even though you don't really know what's going on. You're just nodding, yeah, yeah, whatever the rabbi says. You don't really mean, believe, shalom, to be kind of that gift. The gift will be chal. So, based on what? Based on who? What kind of halacha is that? So what's the answer, rabbi, say? What is the Rashba saying? What is that called? What do we call that in our lingo? That's das ches lachtaso. That's the same thing. That the same way that Tosfos writes in Sanhedrin's of Samaches, that I could give a gift to a katan based on das ches lachtaso, the katan is a lav bar das. He doesn't halachically know what's going on. In Gittin, in the second parak, the recipients, they may not halachically know what's going on. In Mitzias, they don't know what's going on. They're not flying. They don't know what's flying. They don't understand what's chad. They don't chap what's going on. So the Rashba develops a whole yisrael in halacha that I can give a gift to somebody even though they don't really understand what's going on, and that's okay, and that's fine, and that is the corollary of das ches matnasa. So for both sides, we now have two different areas of halacha where we find the same phenomenon playing out. I'm giving gifts to people, and the person who's receiving the gift doesn't really understand. Either they don't understand because halachically they don't have the mechanism to understand under the age of a mitzvah, or they don't understand because l'maisa, they're not clued into what's really happening. And the Gemara's are saying that's okay. Tosfos Sanhedrin Samaches is saying that's okay. The Rashba Gittin in the second parak is saying that's okay. That's fine. So how does that din of the Rashba work? So the answer is the same way it worked for Tosfos. Same way that the Ketzel said it worked based on the fact that there is no requirement of Das Kohenah. Or the same way, according to the other Achronim, it worked based on Zach Liyadim Shlo B'Fanim. Either way would be acceptable. So now we get to the punchline. Now we get Halacha L'Maisa. Everyone knows Emshi has to have a little bit of Halacha L'Maisa. Now we have the following. I'm going to raise you the following question. I want to enter into a transaction with you. I'm going to transfer ownership and property to you. And I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm totally aware of what's happening. And you don't have the foggiest notion what's happening. You don't understand what's happening. You're not so knowledgeable. You're just nodding, saying yeah, whatever the rabbi says. But in terms of Dini Mamonis, you don't really believe that you're acquiring anything. Is that going to work? Or is it not going to work? So the Rashba said, yeah, it's going to work. Tosfos says, yeah, it's going to work. Das Ches Matnasa is going to work. So we assume it's going to work, but we're not sure whether it's going to work based on Zochin or whether it's based on the non-requirement of Das Kohen in the first place. My nafkamina, say the following nafkamina. What if you happen to be not Jewish? I want to be mocked at you, or I want to be nice to you something. I want to transfer ownership with you on something. You happen not to be Jewish, and you don't have a clue as to what's going on. You think it's going to work or not going to work? Who's going to walk me through this? If you hold like the Ketzos, that Das Ches Matnasa means that there's no requirement whatsoever for Das Kohenah, so then that halach is true, bane for Jews, bane for non-Jews. Why should there be any difference? Dini Mamonos are basically the same for Jews and non-Jews. So the non-Jew will acquire it based on the lack of necessity for Da'as Kohenah. But wait a second. If you hold that the only reason why this stunt works is based on Zach Lem Shalofanov, who remembers? Is there Zechir for a non-Jew? What's the answer? There's no zechiyah whatsoever for a non-Jew. There's no zechiyah whatsoever for a non-Jew. So if you're going to tell me that the whole din of Das Ches Matnasa, the whole ability to be machna things to people without their halachic consent, is based on it's a corollary of the principle of Zachar Yerushal Bufanov, it's not going to work for a non-Jew, because a non-Jew doesn't have the parsha of zechiyah to help him out. So next time I want to go to the non-Jewish neighbor and give them a gift, and they don't know what's flying, according to the Ketzel, it's still going to work. According to the other Chacham, it's not going to work.
If we say that it's working isn't that shlichus, and then does that not work with the
Ketzel? Oh, very good. You're undermining the whole other Acharonim, or mamish, not going to work in this Tosfos. Because Tosfos claimed that there's no Zechiyah for Ketzel in the first place, because there's no shlichus for katan, and now I'm turning around and saying that Das Ches Matnasa is going to work, unless one argues that this is a different kind of a zechiyah. This is a zechiyah only on Das, this is not a zechiyah on a maisa. So maybe the only time there's a chisar and a vein zechiyah katan is only when there's a zechiyah on a maisa. You have to stay tuned for the next sugi for that one. Okay? That's the end of the Tosfos. Good, good, very good. I was wondering whether someone was going to catch me on that one. I made it through 50 minutes of the show without somebody catching me on that one. Okay, good, very good. Shkai. So everybody say again, so here's my shayla, very, very real halacha ma'aseh shayla. I want to know, I want to give John a matana, and John is not Jewish, and John has no idea what's going on. He is totally clueless what's happening. I want to give him a matana. Can I do it or not? According to the Ketzos, yeah. According to the early Achronim, no. Anyone think there's a real nafkamina? Okay, we'll move the clock to when? Move back a few months. What? Erev Pesach. I'm sitting there with John, and I'm saying to John the following. John, I have $10 million worth of chametz here. I'm representing, you know, 500 congregants. Got $10 million worth of chametz. I got bottles of schnapps galore. I got pizzas. I got, not natural. I got pizzas. I got catering establishments. I got restaurants. I got so much chametz. John, well, I'm going to transfer ownership to you on all of this chametz, and you're going to do a bunch of kinyanim to me. So what am I asking you to do, John? Give me a quarter. Give me a quarter, shake my hand, and give me a kinyan chalipin or something, and the deal's done. John's thinking to himself a little bit. He thinks the rabbi's out of his mind. Mamish, completely and totally out of his mind. But you know what? I'm going to go along with him. You know why? I'm going to humor the rabbi because I know that every year at the end of this thing, he gives me a bottle of schnapps at the end, you know, just to make it worth my while. So, yeah, it's good for me. It's good, you know, whatever. It's good for me to be, I'm going to play along the game. So you tap John to show and ask him, do you understand that you just bought $10 million worth of chametz? Look at you crazy. Out of your mind. I tell you that. The guy doesn't have $1,000 in his bank account. He's got $10 million worth of chametz. So he doesn't know what's going on. So comes the Ketzais and raises a red flag on Mechiras Chametz. But the Ketzais didn't even raise the red flag on Mechiras Chametz. He raised the red flag on what? Anyone know? Mechiras Bechor. Because Yaduah Mefursam, that everything that we do for Mechiras Chametz is, anyone have any idea how many years old it is? The whole Mechiras Chametz, Hakol Mikol Kol. A couple hundred years old. It's a whole Mechiras Chametz. Why? In the olden days, who in the world did Mechiras Chametz? You had a little bit of Chametz left. Whatever bread you had left over, you ate. Whatever you couldn't get left over, you burnt. Finished. Who had boxes and boxes of stuff? Who had pizza stashed away in the freezer? Who had bottles of schnapps in the olden days? Nobody, there was no Chametz. Nobody had any Chametz. There was no preservatives. There was no refrigeration. There was no way to salvage anything. So nothing was ever saved. So there was very, very little chametz. The Tosef in Pesachim says, if you find yourself on a boat on Erev Pesach, this time a guy went on a cruise on Erev Pesach and he forgot all of a sudden that he forgot to get rid of his chametz, the Tosef says, oy, 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 you should do mechiras chametz with the non-Jew on the boat. That's the entire mechiras chametz with Bezman Chazal. The one who sugar the guy, I forgot to eat all his chametz. Later, 1500, 600, 1700, the Jews started to get into the schnapps business and other food businesses. So then they had thousands of rubles worth of chametz. It became very, very difficult. So somebody realized, you know what, let's go back to that Tosefta. And the whole institution of Mechiras Chametz started. The last 300 years we're living in Mechiras Chametz. But the real Mechira that was practiced for thousands of years by Klal Yisrael was Mechiras Bechor Behemet Tahira. Why is that? Because the din is that if you own an animal, and that animal gives birth, the firstborn, that animal has conditions before even Bizban, even a chutzlar to be paskin. So the only way to get around that problem is to be mocked the chelek of the mother before the baby is born. You have to be mocked the chelek of the mother to the non-Jew. So that's been done for the last 2,000 years, since the days of the Churban they've been doing that. That the Jew sells a little small piece of the animal, the mother, right before the baby is born, and show them to Israel. So the Rishonim worked really, really, really hard to figure out how you can do that. Make a kinyan kesef with a kinyan mashiach with a kinyan chalipa with a kinyan nagav with a kinyan chatzah with a kinyan zitu, every kinyan under the sun, to try to make sure that it's going to be done properly. It's not so easy to sell things. Chiras and mas is not so simple. Remember years ago in yeshiva, so we had a bachur in yeshiva whose father was a cattle dealer. Some of you know Rabbi Weil? No? Steve Weil? Now he's a rabbi, now he lives in Phoenix. So his father was a cattle dealer up in upstate New York. So when he came to yeshiva, so the rabbi in the yeshiva arranged for his father to have mechiras b'chor behemet Torah. He owned 400 cows. A few of them were mechiras floating around. So he had to make sure to sell all the cows before they gave birth. So that practice of mechiras b'chor has been done for thousands and thousands of years already. And then the last couple hundred years, so whatever was done for mechiras b'chor, so we just carried over to mechiras chametz. So back in the days of mechiras b'chor, and then Bezman Hazeh also, so the Ketzais raised the red flag and said, wait a second, when we sell our b'chor, we sell our animals to the non-Jews, we sell our chametz to the non-Jews, does the non-Jew really know what's going on? Does he really appreciate it? Does he really believe what he's doing is real or not? Probably not. So says the Ketzais, how does it work? The whole thing is a farce. So says the Ketzais, I'll tell you how it works. Das echers machnaso. The word's based on asug, you based on athesis. Das echers machnaso works in a Torah, that I can give a gift to somebody even though they're a lav bardas, either they're a halachic lav bardas under bar mitzvah, or like the Rashba's case in Gittin, they don't know what's flying, that's okay. Because I am giving, I am doing the kinyan, das echers machnaso, that's perfectly okay, that's no problem. Says the Ketzais, we should just know, says the Ketzais, this only works according to my approach. If you take the approach of the early Acharonim, that Das Ches Makloso is a corollary of Zachar Yadam Shlo Bafanov, it's going to work for a Jew, but it's not going to work for a non-Jew. And therefore, when you do Mechiris Chometz, you better be really, really careful that the non-Jew understands exactly what's going on to the letter, or else you're going to run into a serious problem of it's a farce. He doesn't have Das Kona, and without Das Kona, Zach Lashon Fon is not going to work, and the whole kidney is not going to be chal, and you can end up with Rabbi Matz, have to throw out all your pizzas and shops. No, but for a non-Jew, b'chalal, it's not going to work. For a non-Jew, no zechiyah is going to work. Nothing's going to work. So, yeah, that's a good question. That's a very, very good question. You're right. That's a good question. Okay, we have to come back to that when we come back to the katan part. So, this is how the Ketzai leaves it, as he says that. The Ketzai says, I'm personally not too worried about this because I think my beer was right, but according to early Achronim, I think it's a huge problem when you do Mechiris Chometz, you do Mechiris Bechor, the non-Jew really, really has to be in sync with what's going on. I mean, this guy, that's the guy who's saying, maybe this kind of watered down Zechiyah maybe would work for a non-Jew. Yeah, so we're going to have to talk about this in the next segment. We talk about Zechiyah mitam shlichos, when that's going to work. Right, I hear that. It's a good kasha. So this is where the Ketzais kind of leaves us. It's for this reason that some Rabbanim try very, very hard to get a non-Jew who really understands. Those who have been part of Abraham's commentaries over the years. So the reason I gave the name John is because the last name is Brown. So Mr. John Brown, who's been the non-Jew for the Riverdale and many of the Bergen County Mechiris Chometzes in Queens and other series of Mechiris Chometzes together. We have about 30, 40 Rabbanim who join on to him. So he has been explained for the last 40 years exactly what's going on. He understands all the business intricacies. One of the reasons why Rabbi really likes to use him is for this very reason, that if you give it to someone who doesn't really know what's flying, so that's going to be a problem. Of course, this year we had to give it an emergency new lesson in Mechiris Chometz to the non-Jew because Mr. Brown couldn't make it due to Corona. So we had to get another pinch hitter for Mechiris Chometz. So we had to explain to Mechiris and the earlier Achronim and Tzchir Shlichos and everything on the spot. As I've told over many times in the past, that Mr. Brown knows more about Mechiris Chometz than everybody in this room, including myself. That he once gave a shiur on YU about Mechiris Chometz. He gave a shiur on YU Torah. It's called Mechiris Chometz from the vantage point of the Gentile. I think that's the name of the shiur. He once corrected me on Mechiris Chometz that I forgot to do the kinyan chalipin for the schiros where the chometz is, in addition to the kinyan on the chometz, so we're soicher all the closets and all the cabinets where everything is, so we do a kinyan, special kinyan chalipin on that also. So I was in a rush in the morning at Pesach and I forgot to do that kinyan, so he stopped me and said, Rabbi, you forgot to do the bartering aspect of the leasing of the real estate where the chometz is located. So Mr. Brown, you're right. So I said to Mr. Brown, you're a real expert in Mechiris Chometz. So he said to me, Rabbi, an expert means someone who knows a lot about a little. That's what he said. He said, I know everything there is to know about Mechiris Chometz. I don't know anything else about the laws of Sabbath, but I know everything about Mechiris Chometz. You have to know who your Paiskim are, so he's the Paisik in Mechiris Chometz. Fine, so bottom line, back to that story. So if you don't want to use a Mr. Brown, a type of a person, so then you have to take stand from this Bachlek Siktais and the other Echwein. So just where we up to in terms of this entire sugya. So what are we trying to accomplish today? So we just read two lines of Tosfos, that's all. We didn't even open the Gemara. I don't even know where my Gemara is. It's on this table somewhere. But everyone saw the Gemara, everyone saw the Tosfos. But Tosfos came to the realization that a katan can own money min haTorah. You have to conclude that there's a possibility for a katan to own money min haTorah. That's a given. That's the chayv l'yavor. Otherwise, the whole sugya that gives like, yeah, for a katan doesn't make any sense. How in the world did a katan get money min haTorah? So Tosfos started scrounging around. So first they said, oh, he picked up a mitzvah. Tosfos says, bad. It's only gezel b'daka shalom. Okay, maybe somebody was zeichon on their behalf on the mitzvah. No, bad. Ain't still the katan. So Tosfos says, oh, it must be tasches machna. So then Tosfos proved to us textually that such a concept exists. And that was the Gemara Maseches Sukkah, that they discovered in America that there's a concept called Taschas Machnaso. We weren't so sure that Gemara even exists, because the Ran may have deflected that Gemara a little bit, but we are following Tosfos. We're going big for Tosfos, the Taschas Machnaso works. So then we raise the question, how does it work? What's the Lumdus based on? So we have the Ketzais and the other Achronim. Is it based on the no need for Das Kinyan altogether, but rather Das Kinyan, and that Das Kinyan can be provided by the Moicher? Or no, is that of course you need Das Kinyan. You need the ABCs, you need two to tango, of course you need Das Kinyan. The only reason why it works is because of Zoch Vem Shalom Afonim with all of those problems. Then we realize that whatever's playing out in terms of a Katan is identically playing out in terms of being mocked at somebody when the person is not holding what's going on, the person is not paying attention whatsoever. So if that's the case, so then it's going to be subject to the same rules, the same kolalim. So then you have to figure out, well, what are those kolalim? So one of the big nafkamina of those kolalim is is that what if the person who you're receiving on their behalf is not subject to the rules of Zachar Shabbat? He's a non-Jew. If that's the case, so then we're going to run into a problem according to the non-Ketzai Sacharot. But this is, again, this is all assuming. The whole Taisus was working with the Yesodas, Avodah Chochmas was, is that the Kotel has to be able to own something, and the simple mechanism of a Kotel owns something, namely that he simply picked it up for himself, so that's just not going to fly. That's not going to work. What's stopping Tyson in the tracks, that just having a cotton pick up something and having been koina is just not going to fly in a Torah. That's the Mishnah in Maseches Gittin about in the Gezel of the Dakar Shalom. Just for your own piece of information, there is a Shach that claims that Tyson is not correct in Chilav Yatzayif. Just, I don't want to say it at the beginning of the Shia because then no one would have listened to the Shia. But at the very end of the Shia, the Shach has a Ha'ar and he says, you know, I think the whole Kash of Tyson was predicated on an error. Says the Shach, I think that a Kotlin can own something min HaTorah. It's against the Mishnah. He says, yeah, I think a Kotlin can own something min HaTorah by picking it up. He can pick up a Mitziah, min HaTorah can be Kotlin. The Mishnah says not. The Shach claims, the Rishalmi says, that that's only true if the Kotlin is not a Gil on Saputos. But if it's a Gil on Saputos, then he's Kona catch this one min HaTorah without Das Ches Matnasa. You don't even need Das Ches Matnasa. That which Tosfos assumes, a huge Tosfos, a whole Amud long in Sanhedrin, Tosfos assumed it's inconceivable for a Kohen to be Zoich in anything in a Torah without somebody else's assistance. The Shach says, no, it's not true. He can be Zoich, mid deraisa, Das Ches Matnasa. You don't even need Das Ches Matnasa. As long as he's 10, 11 years old, he can be Zoich in a Mitziah, mid deraisa. So don't feel so bad about the Shach's destroying Tosfos. The Tosfos says he doesn't think the Shach's right anyway. He says that the Shach's so based on Yerushalmi. We don't hold the Yerushalmi. I'm sure the Yerushalmi said. So conventional wisdom is not like the Shach. Conventional wisdom is that Shia was correct. We hope our Shia was correct today. That a Kotlin cannot be Zoichem in a Torah by simply picking something up. The best we can come up with is Das Ches Matnasa. But again, we spent a lot of time trying to iron out the details. What Das Ches Matnasa is it or is not. Hopefully, Mitzvah tomorrow, we're going to try to go to the, before we move on to the next, to get to the two other solutions from Tosfos. Tosfos has two other potential solutions how a Kotlin can't own something in a Torah. Either invoking the Parshas of Yerusha or the Parshas of Chris Polem, and see where that's going to take us. So that those two other approaches to Tosfos are also going to open up worlds for us in terms of Lamaisa as well, in terms of Lamdas and Lamaisa. Hopefully, Mitzvah tomorrow, we'll pick up at that point. Okay? So let's just turn off. I just want to talk for 1 second. We can turn off the Zoom, okay?
Yeah, guys.